Before we jump into today's conversation, let's take a moment to acknowledge our amazing sponsor, the Academy of Therapy Wisdom.
Oh my gosh, we love this platform.
They're the place I go now for all my CEUs.
Stay tuned for a special offer at the end of the show.
Please join us for our next live online workshop, Integrating Mind and Heart, April 3rd through 6th of 2024.
This is an experiential, active workshop designed to engage you in brain states that promote relational learning.
If you want to get closer, say the things that usually go unspoken and trust each other and yourself to get through the hard moments. This is the workshop for you.
Go to whydoesmypartner.com to learn more and register.
Welcome to the Why Does My Partner podcast.
I'm Jules.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Rebecca.
We're your hosts. We're also couples therapists and messy humans bumbling through our own relationships every day.
We met at a training, and our secret sauce is that we and our partners became fast friends. Between us, we have more than 40 years of experience holding hard relational questions with our clients. We're going to bring those questions here.
And together, we're going to take a stab at answering those questions. This podcast is not a substitute for couples therapy. If something you hear in this podcast stirs something deep within you about your relationship, reach out to a couples therapist in your area.
We also love to hear your questions, so don't forget to go over to whydoesmypartner.com to leave a question of your own. Here's today's question.
Welcome back. I'm Jules.
This is Vicky.
And I'm Rebecca. Today's question, why doesn't my partner take care of me when I'm upset? When I'm hurt and angry, I want my partner to take care of me, and I just don't understand why they can't see what I need in that kind of moment. We've been together for so long. It's like they don't know me or something.
Aww. Vic and I made the same noise at the same time.
And I don't usually, but oh, this one does touch my
heart. Sweet one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I want that too. I want... There are parts of me that really, really long for... gentleness and caretaking and getting that I'm upset. Hopefully, by the way, without me having to say anything. and also to really like take on soothing me.
Oh, but I get even it. When I do say something, I'm realizing now, like sometimes I say to Gabe, like, why can't you say this right now or do this for me right now?
Yeah.
And typically it's because he's just as upset as I am.
Well, this is part of the why.
But this is brain state stuff.
Yeah, this is why it doesn't work.
Explain.
Well, right?
One of you.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of folks that call me and they're looking to do some work together. Like I'm talking to a lot of folks about intensives lately. And they all call and everybody says, oh, we're having a hard time communicating.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my number one
it's
request.
It's the number one, right? Mm-hmm. And I always ask this question. I'm like, are you like always having a hard time communicating? Or is it like you have a hard time communicating when you're like upset about something or there's a lot of charge in the room or like...
That's good clarification.
Right? Like, are you, when you're flooded, is it harder to communicate? Or is it like always across the board that you can't communicate with each other? And like 9.5 times out of 10, it's like... Oh, well, there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that here too, because it's like, why doesn't my partner take care of me when I'm upset? Well, what's going on there? There's something else going on. There's when we're flooded, when we're picking up or sensing an agenda in our partner, or we're feeling a lot of shame or blame or judgment.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like when that's the stuff that's kind of happening, we kind of go offline. And whether and when we're offline in that way and we're wanting our partner to take care of us. But oftentimes what I'm noticing in couples is that when one person's offline, the other partner is too.
Yeah. So why is your partner not soothing you?
Yeah.
They're probably not in a brain state that supports connection and bonding behaviors in that moment.
Right.
This is actually, so what happens in a neurobiological sense is that the brain state comes first and supports particular abilities. And then other brain states support other abilities.
Yeah.
So like, fast reactivity, moving your body quickly, moving into old defenses is supported by brain states that function when we're scared, when we are sensing danger of some kind or like something's going wrong.
What do you mean by old defenses? Sorry.
Like old ways that I've learned over the course of my life that mm-hmm. work to keep me alive in hard moments. Basically, the brain is marking like, I yelled and then it stopped. Check. That worked.
Right. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I yelled and the fight stopped, then I have good data that says if I yell loud enough and hard enough, then I will get out of this hard moment. Mm-hmm. The bad stops. And it in that kind of moment, long-term consequences are not actually an available thought process. So mm-hmm. we need to shift the brain state to a state that is more interested in connection and bonding in order to be able to be with each other.
Can I get like a little nuanced with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I hear you say we need to shift the brain state into a state that's more interested in connection mm-hmm. and bonding. Mm-hmm. And when I heard the word interested, my brain quickly shifted to available. It's more available.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely okay. correct mm-hmm. that. Because I want to be really clear about this. This is a physiological difference. Mm-hmm. It right. is not possible to be interested or to have this capacity available in some brain states. And right. it is available in other brain states.
So, like,
so
if
it's not like a wanting or it's not like a choice.
If I'm having mm-hmm. a panic attack, mm-hmm. right? And... Mm-hmm. And I don't know about what, but I'm having a panic mm-hmm. attack mm-hmm. and I'm totally mm-hmm. flooded. Mm-hmm. And my partner is upset that I'm having a panic attack mm-hmm. and needs me to figure out how to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have the capacity or availability in that moment. I might have the capacity. Mm-hmm. In that moment, my brain state is not available.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, right. Not that
for
brain
connection.
State does not support that.
Right.
And by the way, your partner who is really upset in that moment mm-hmm. probably does not have the brain state available to you either to help right. you with your panic attack in any way or be soothing during your panic attack in any way.
Right.
And I'm not
how
saying
do you get there?
Right.
This is what I like love.
Right. We're saying like it's easy of like, okay, you just have to get curious. You just have to get to a different brain state.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
How?
So
yeah.
A couple asked me this recently. They were asking me like, it came off a little differently. It was like, Rebecca, why are you always talking to us about how to like watch our own brain?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like mm-hmm. we've been to other couples therapists in the past and they keep telling us that we have to be there to support each other in some capacity. Why do you keep telling us to watch ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Because that is the how. Mm-hmm. So people are always asking, how do you mm-hmm. do this? And I love those questions. I'm a how person. Great mm-hmm. question. Let's talk about how. And I can't tell you, do this in this order, because that's actually, the how is a little bit more unique to each person.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle of the how is the same for everybody. The part of your brain that's going to help you shift from one state to another is going to be activated when you slow down and watch what's happening right now inside you.
Can we give an example?
Thank you.
Go for it.
Please.
Well, like I'm just thinking like right now live for our listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
If we just like ask you to... Oh... Just take a breath for a second
mm-hmm.
and just notice like, hey, you're alive and you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And what helps you know that?
Yeah, you know what happened in my brain just now? And I'm going to do this live for folks so you can see what I mean when I say this. We'll watch whatever is. So Rebecca's telling me to witness my breath. And what just happened was a flood of things I'm about to have to do. So I got mm-hmm. flooded with all these thoughts and images of where I'm about to go. So I'm just noticing, oh, I'm witnessing the hello list of stuff I have to do before my daughter goes to bed tonight. I see you. I see all the images there of all the different things I got to do and move around and stuff. There's a big thing happening in my house tomorrow. So we got some furniture to move around. And so I've got that list going. And that's me witnessing the list. I'm not being taken over by the list. And then I remembered the breath thing just now. And I felt my breath. And I felt it as I did, the butterfly in my back opened up a little bit wider. It's almost like that. Oh, coming back to the breath and out of the list helped my breath expand a little bit more.
There you go.
And even as I'm doing this, whoo, there are tingles going down. It's like they're going off my shoulders and down off the sides of my arms, down my back a little bit. Because even coming into this state where I'm witnessing my own mind a little bit is going to bring me into regulation. And how does that happen? Well, there's a neurochemical GABA that is being released when I move into the state. And it's going to calm down my subcortical brain and help my brain come into more integration, which is just a state where we have different brain systems talking more to each other. And so it's subtler, it's more nuanced, it's a little softer. And this is where connection states live, is in this more nuanced state. So it's like, in order to be there for my partner, I am so empowered. Because I don't have to worry about how to soothe them. Mm-hmm. I only have to worry about how to witness me.
Right. Can I be with you inside of this? Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Jules, for illustrating and really giving us a chance to witness you witnessing you. That was fun to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going real meta.
I know. It's so cool. I can live in this space.
Right.
I do. But here's the thing. As we were witnessing you, what happens is that we realize, oh, there actually doesn't need to be like any judgment happening in that. Mm-hmm. It's just a witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And I like to sometimes call it witnessing. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's like, whoa, when I turn my attention inward and I'm watching what's happening, there's also this other sort of thing that starts happening in my system where I go, oh yeah. And notice just like even the tone of that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got distracted. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Of course I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's that tag inside my shirt and it's really itchy, but notice that. Right? Like, so there's something shifting in there. And so there's like, there's a witness. I'm suddenly like, I'm not really, if I was feeling flooded and I was feeling really alone, when I turn my attention inward, something about that shifts because now I'm with myself.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think this is really about you move into relationship between you and you, and that changes the neurochemistry.
Yeah.
And makes it so that you're more available to be in relationship with us. And by the way, person who asked this question, I am, for all of us who have this kind of question, I'm just noticing if I stay in that upset, hurt space, even if my partner does that U-turn and starts witnessing their mind, and then comes to me with soothing or comes to me with kindness, I may even miss it because my brain state is so activated, I can't catch that they're trying to be supportive in the first place because actually that hurt, hard, is not a good receiving state.
Right.
Because it does not do connection and bonding physiologically.
And so why is it that we spend so much energy talking about the brain states? It's in part because that allows us to both actually turn towards the relational space, right? And receive from the relational space because it is really, when our brain states are in a more flooded, flipped place or judgy shame, blame kind of agenda type place, we're just not available to receive the care that our partner might be offering us.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or to give it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so what the kind of stuff we're talking about, we're going to be talking about at a workshop we have coming up in just a couple weeks. So if you like these ideas, you go, oh, wait, I want to dive deeper into this. It's online, so you do not have to travel. It is live. It is small group. It is highly interactive. So we will be talking about lots of hows and helping each person who comes to the workshop find their own very particular, very unique how. So we're really excited to be able to meet you all in that space. And we sure hope you can come to it.
And it's called Integrating Mind and Heart.
Yeah.
And you can learn more about it.
Info at our website.
Whyismypartner.com.
Yeah. So finding your own unique version of turning towards yourself to be in relationship with yourself so that I can be in more relationship with my partner.
Yeah.
It's like this is true for all complex systems. We go differentiation first and then back into relationship. Link comes second. And so we're going to be really leaning into that in order to give you the support you want. Because the thing is, this listener asked for the right thing. Of course you want to be supported. And I want you to be able to take it in. And I want your partner to be able to be there with you. Which means we do a U-turn first.
I'm having a moment here.
Oh, tell me.
I'm like dancing in my seat a little with this
moment.
Yeah,
you are.
As I hear you talk about differentiation first, link second, and I've heard you... I've heard you talk about that a lot, Jules. And all complex systems move in this way. I'm thinking, but when we're born into this world, we're linked with someone. When we're in utero, like there isn't the differentiation. And it takes quite a while for us to figure out that we're not the same as our mothers. And
that, is
that
exactly.
They're not actually like mind reading. And there's some kind of oh, but that's a kind of what we're wishing for inside of this question is
of
like,
course it
can
is.
We get back to that?
And no, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
and that's the thing.
Yeah.
And this is, I actually asked, I've colleagues with a guy named Dan Siegel who talks a lot about this stuff. And I had a moment where we were one-on-one and I asked him that exact question. I said, Dan, when I've been studying complexity theory and mathematics, it's not differentiation and linkage, not differentiation first and linkage second for every complex system. It's just that both have to be present. Why do you always say differentiation first, link second? He said, because we start linked. And so we have to add the other piece. And so we go differentiation first, link second, because we're so in linkage that we start adding that integrative capacity in a complex system by adding the other piece. And so we're going to move back and forth between both of them. Of course, both are going to be present. Of course, we are born in linkage. And of course, there's some inner longing to be held and met with in utero. There is no temperature need. There is no food need.
Right.
There is no breath need. There
sounds
is
glorious.
No need.
It
there's no
glorious.
Need. It's existence without need.
Yeah.
And no, we don't get to go back.
On the flip side, by the way, when I'm thinking about this myself or with my clients and talking with them, there is something so empowering at knowing I don't have to wait for Gabe to be integrated to support me.
Right.
That I can do this for myself.
That's exactly right.
I have to rely on the other person. I mean, like, again, in utero sounds glorious and it is totally reliant on the other person.
Right.
And it's nice that in adulthood, I don't have to rely on someone anymore. I can do this for me.
Exactly. And of course you want the other person to show up as well.
Yes.
Absolutely. And ask for it. And ask loudly if you need to and ask vehemently and passionately. I love that.
Yes.
And also... oh, you don't have to be dependent on somebody else to be okay.
Right. And thank you for the way you just phrased that. I do want to point out, ask, and like you said, ask vehemently. If you have a partner who really is like really unavailable to support you and really unwilling, like ever, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Like there could be an actual issue going on.
There is something hard there.
Yeah. So like look into that. But this is more on the like, I'm upset in the car and because this happened, we got home and I was upset about something. And I was like, can't you just write down? He was like, no,
No, well, see, and he's flipped.
He's flipped.
He's triggered. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're naming something there that's also in this question. As you're saying, can't you just, and I was upset. And in this question, it's why can't my partner when I'm upset, at, you know, when I'm hurt or angry? Here we have a clue that maybe it's not just about what the partner can or can't do, but that the person asking the question here is also like in a brain state that isn't really able to receive.
Right. Both, both need, both people shifting really helps in the support, giving and in the receiving part. Mm-hmm. And I want to just note, when I'm in that more triggered state or really upset, I'm not in a brain state that's really good at doing that connection bonding. You know what? I do forget who my partner is in that moment.
Yeah.
But it's not like I don't know him as a whole. And it's not like I don't know him in all of the slings and arrows and waves and love of our relationship. I do, but that knowledge is unavailable to me in that moment.
I'm thinking as you're saying this, Jules, that in that moment for me, as I witness myself now, when I have those moments, something that happens for me is I'm often in a more protective state, like we talked about in our last episode.
Yeah.
And so when I'm there, I'm orienting to all the ways maybe he isn't caring for me or all the things that I need to protect against.
Yeah.
Right. And so like I'm kind of looking for confirmation that I'm right in that. And it's so easy then to miss all the other stuff because that's not what my brain is orienting towards.
Totally. And when you're in that space, by the way, so I'm in my upset, hard, sad space or angry space, as I watch him maybe not look that supportive to me, and maybe it looks like he doesn't know me, I don't know him either.
Right.
In that moment. Let's remember that part.
And I get very, very self-focused in that space, right? So I'm doing a lot of like navel-gazing or like, you know, there's maybe... Oh, some anger coming out, some anger going in, right? Like it's moving in ways that are not supportive of us finding each other.
Right. Finding each other in hard moments, which is where we're, what we're after.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff that we're covering in our Integrating Mind and Heart workshop. I have one more thing to add to celebrate with y'all, as this is our last episode of season 6.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Also, thank our 106th episode of the podcast.
That's amazing.
106 episodes.
This would not be possible if you were not listening. So thank you so much for listening.
Oh my gosh. And thank you.
Yeah.
And I have one request, dear listeners. If you could take a moment and go over on whatever listening app you're listening on and rate us and review us, it would be the biggest gift in the world. So thank you so much for being with us for 106 freaking episodes.
Amazing.
Amazing. And we'll see you soon back here on the podcast for a mini series. We're cooking up some wonderful things. We've got some fun new questions and hopefully we'll see you at the workshop, Integrating Mind and Heart as well.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That wraps up this week's episode. Join us again next week for another Why Does My Partner?
We hope that you continue to listen wherever you get your audio and that you'll follow the show.
To go deeper, join us at one of our workshops. You'll find our next date at whydoesmypartner.com.
Did you know you can ask us your questions?
Your questions are relational gold.
Go to whydoesmypartner.com to either write in or record your question for a future episode.
And here are some gratitudes. Thanks to Al Hoberman, our sound editor and podcast production magic maker.
Thanks to every one of you who has joined us for our workshops in the past. We've learned so much from all of you.
And thanks to everyone who's reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews help others to find the show.
Take care of each other best you can.
See you next time. We want to tell you more about our sponsor, Therapy Wisdom.
Jules is one of their amazing educators. And you can also find teachers like Janina Fisher, Bessel van der Kolk, Deidre Fay, and Akilah Riley Richardson, plus a bunch of people you might not have heard of, but will definitely want to start following once you take their courses.
And because you listen to us, the Therapy Wisdom team is offering a secret code to give you free access to one of my 1 hour wise conversations. Use the code WDMP at checkout.
If you're a licensed therapist, coach, healer, or someone who's invested in doing the deep work of personal healing and want to learn about topics like neurobiology, supporting trauma healing, incorporating intersectionality and somatic work, then this is the place for you. Discover some of the most heart-led and quality courses available in a community of people who are invested in spiritual growth, equity, inclusion, and developing expert-level clinical skill.
Visit therapywisdom.com or click the link in the show notes and use the WDMP discount code. Thanks, Therapy Wisdom. We love you.